1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. Had this message on my heart for a number of days. Just want to get rid of it here tonight. Not get rid of it, but just deliver it. Praise the Lord. Like the UPS guy, he delivers things. Amen. And they say now that if you leave a package on the front porch, there are people that come and steal the package and all that sort of thing. Somebody rigged up the package with a shotgun shell, took the shot out of it. When he picked up the thing, the shell went off. Boom. He took off a running. Amen. Well, praise God. The thief cometh not but for to steal. He wants to steal this message that God wants to deliver to you. Amen. Church is not a place to play games. Church is not a place to be casual, but it is a serious place. And it's amazing we can have fun at the same time because it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, and Paul's saying here, run like you're running to win. Amen. You may not win, and people have put down those that are in second place. They say second place is just first place loser. Amen. I don't look at it that way. I look at it, I'm giving it my best. So run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to title this right now. I'll title it here in just a couple minutes. But let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. We need God's direction. We need God's grace upon us here tonight. Let's pray. Come on, everybody. Pray with me tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you for the gospel tonight. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name, anoint this word tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. It's good to be here on Sunday night. Amen. And I just pray that God will give us revival and this place be full up every service. Amen. That's the will of God. You know, the Apostle Paul was quite a man. I did some talking about him this morning in the message this morning. And this man, Paul, here, who wrote to the Corinthians, this first letter to the Corinthians, this morning we looked at the second letter to the Corinthians. This man had revelations. He had understanding that you and I can glean from, that we can gain wisdom and understanding for the journey. Amen. And sometimes the wisdom of God comes to us in very simple things. And please forgive me tonight, indulge me just for a moment. But I was playing with my grandson the other day. And I know that's hard to believe, but we were just having a good time, having grandpa time. And we were talking about this, that, and the other. And he's got a way about him that when he gets excited, he starts like he's running. Amen. And his little legs go back and forth so fast. And one night he did a karate chop with his leg. And I thought, this kid's going to be something else when he grows up. And just a running, minute after minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and he's a running away. And just his eyes are dilated. And he just got real excited. And something came out of my mouth. I'm going to title the message, What Came Out of My Mouth. And don't worry, I'm not going to be talking about my grandson all the time. But I was playing with him, and he began to run like he's kicking his legs, like he's running to get somewhere real fast. And I didn't realize what came out of my mouth I would actually preach about. But while he was kicking and he was making all these noises and so excited, I said, "Where are you going? And what you going to do when you get there?" Praise God. And the more I got to thinking about it, the more I thought that's a message for each and every one of us. Somebody said amen. Where are you going? What you going to do when you get there? And Paul understood this, and it gave him the focus for his life all the way to the very end of his life. And whether or not we realize it, whether or not you realize it, young person, you're running for something. Amen. You're going somewhere. You have desires. You have goals. Every one of us, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this house tonight, we're running to obtain something. Amen. And the apostle, of course, was not talking about earthly things altogether, but he was talking about spiritual things. Amen. And he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And when we look at the little ones that are among us and the excitement and the enthusiasm that they have for the moment, for what's going on in our in their little bitty world, I realize that when each of us were born, the epic struggle of going somewhere began. Amen. And it began from the first time that you cried for some food. Amen. And your mother or your dad fed you your very first meal. It began from birth all the way through learning to walk and learning to run and being excited about things that are so very, very simple. Amen. A child can get excited about a cookie. Amen. Well, some of you on the front row are nodding your head. You still get excited about a cookie. Praise the Lord. And, well, praise God. I'm not going to pick on these young people on the front row here tonight. But we're running a race. Amen. And each and every one of us here tonight, we've got a choice. Amen. And the choice that we have tonight, especially in the country that we live in, is to choose what kind of race we're going to run. Amen. We're not like other generations that have come and gone, generations that when you were born as a slave, you were born into a slave family, your fate was determined for you, and you would be a slave the rest of your life. Amen. But I thank God we live in America where we have the freedom to make choices and we have the freedom to do what we want to do. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that God has given us freedom and given us liberty to make choices in our life. That's one power that God gave to you and to me. You can make your choice and God will not stop you from making your choice. Amen. He will not come and stop you. Somebody said, well, if God is real, then why does he allow all of these things to happen? I'm telling you what, it would not be a relationship at all if you were made to do something against your will. Amen. You wouldn't do it with your friendships. You wouldn't do it in your marriage. It has to be something that is done by choice. Amen. And the choice that you make is very important. I choose tonight to run for Jesus. Amen. I choose tonight to set aside everything and to go after the call of God, just like the Apostle Paul did. And we can look at him as an example, but let's face it here tonight, there were very few people, very, very few people that had the call that the Apostle Paul did. A man that had a zeal after God, an intelligent individual, knew the law forwards, backwards, sideways, upside down. He was trained by the greatest teacher of his day, and he truly was one of a kind. He was a leader of leaders, Amen. And he had a zeal for God. Sometimes, that's very exciting and that's very good. But sometimes we can, when we have that kind of drive and that kind of motivation for things in this world, we tend to look at the things of this world, and when we are successful in them, it has a tendency of bringing pride into our life. And we look down upon others and say, well, they could do it the way I did it. I've come to understand that not very many people have done it the way I've done it. Amen. And you ought to thank God for that. Praise the Lord. Because we have our own pathway that we're walking down. We have the road, our own personal road that we're traveling tonight. But in reality, you've got a choice. There's lots of exits on this road. There's a lots of times that you can just pull your vehicle off of the exit and go down another road and do something else. And there may be someone along the way saying, go back, you're going the wrong way. But nobody's going to stop you. Nobody's going to say, you can't do this. Amen. And you can go the direction that you want to go. I heard a story, I guess it's a true story, of someone that came to church, and they drove, this kind of dates it, I guess, but they came to church in a Volkswagen and pulled up at the church. I think it was a little red Volkswagen. And in the middle of the service, the preacher was preaching, and he was preaching about going down the road and getting off at an exit. And he said, if you want to, you can take your little red Volkswagen and drive it right off the exit. And he knew nothing about this person and knew nothing about the kind of car that they were driving. And after the service, I understand that they got in their vehicle and drove down the road. And just a mile or two down the road, they were in a tragic accident and were killed. I'm telling you what, tonight, we are in the hand of a living God tonight. Church is not just something that we do. I was out eating today, and you know, they've got those televisions everywhere, and they're doing the sports thing and all that, and everybody's excited about the sports thing. And this commercial came on, and it caught my attention. And it showed a church, a large church, and it was focusing down the middle aisle. And the word came on the screen, it said, escape. And this individual got up out of their pew, walked back towards the back, and the doors opened up. And there was the football team, there was the sports team. And it said, escape to sports. Amen. And I thought, dear God, that's the message that we have in our generation today, that going to church is something for fuddy-duddies. Amen. That going to church is just for old folks that have always done it, but it has no relevance and no meaning to me. It might be that way in your denominational churches, but God help us, it's not that way in an apostolic church. Well, praise the Lord. We got more young people than we do older folks. Amen. We've got middle-aged folks. Praise God, because there is something about God that is real. Amen. There is something about this that when you get a hold of the truth, it changes the way you think about things. Amen. And Paul was changed. He had great success, and he understood what it was to have success and to be successful. And you cannot be successful by going to one thing and trying it a little while, going to another thing and trying it for a little while. That's what the world does. They're just trying everything to find out what's going to maybe give them happiness tonight or satisfy. But praise God, there's a peace, there's a settled feeling that comes over us when you know the truth and the truth makes you free. And you say, this is where I'm supposed to be, right here. This is where I'm going to touch God. And I'll tell you what, when you get that kind of an attitude, I'll tell you, God will move in miracles. God will move in mighty ways in your life, and you'll look back and say, wow, I'm glad I chose to stay on the road to heaven. I'm glad I didn't get off on an exit road for some silly, foolish thing. Amen. But I decided to give my life to God. Amen. You're listening to someone tonight that made that commitment at 19 years old. And I said, I'm going to serve God. I'll tell you, I envy some of you that got the Holy Ghost when you were 6 and 7 years old. Amen. I envy those of you that have had a glorious life in the church. Amen. But I'm telling you, we've got a world out there with a lot of bright lights. Amen. And my question tonight is, where are you going and what you going to do when you get there? Praise God. Where are you going and what you going to do when you get there? And Paul chose to run his life for God. And his call, of course, was to preach the gospel. But for you and I, that's not really the epitome. Amen. That's not the highest mark that you can reach to. I'll tell you, the highest mark that you'll ever reach to is not being able to preach flowery messages or move a crowd. But the greatest thing that any of us can do is simply to live for God and do the right thing. Praise God. But Paul had a call on his life that very few had. And in fact, truly, the Apostle Paul was one of a kind. Amen. He really was. And for him, it was an open-ended question when he was knocked down off his high horse. And my pastor said it rained that morning. There was a mud puddle there. And the Lord knocked him down into the mud puddle and just let him wallow there for a little while. That's his interpretation of what happened to Paul. And I kind of think maybe that's the way it did happen as well. And finally he lifted up his eyes into heaven and he said, Lord, who are you? And he wanted to get an identification here. And the voice said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then Paul just gave an open-ended question to God, a question that will be a choice in your life, a question that will determine the future of your life. He said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I got a feeling if the Lord said, I want you to teach children, he would have developed a children's ministry. I've got a feeling if he said, you know what, you've got so many marks against you, I just want you to go and be a faithful giver in the church. Praise God. I'm not looking to make somebody mighty among the men, amen, but I'm just looking for somebody who will say, Lord, what will you have me to do? Praise God. And whatever the call, whatever the will of God is, I'm willing to do that. Amen. And for him, it was to preach, but it was to preach with an infirmity. It was to preach with something that he would never get away from in his life. Amen. And when we run in a race, there's several things that are experienced, probably a lot more than what I'm going to bring out tonight. But when you run in a race, you can't just say, I'm going to run in a race today, and I'm just going to go sign up. You're foolish to do that because you've got to have preparation. You've got to have training. In a race of this sort, there's going to be fatigue. And along with the fatigue, there's got to be zeal and excitement. Amen. And then hopefully you're going to cross the finish line. And all of us are running somewhere tonight. Amen. We're running a race. We are running in our life. Where are you going tonight? What you going to do when you get there? Amen. Paul spoke of this, and he included you and I in this truth. Amen. They that run a race are going to run to win. Amen. I don't want to just put on the jersey. I don't want to just put on the number tag. And when the picture is taken, I'm going to be standing there with a big smile on my face so that I can show off the picture. Amen. I'm not going to go and buy the latest shoes so that when I go out in public, they can say, oh, look at the shoes he has on. He must be a runner. But if I haven't practiced, if I haven't put in the time to do what's necessary, it's all just fluff. It's all just show. Praise God. It's not going to help you to win the race to have the best shoes. It's not going to help you to win the race to have the prettiest number plate hanging off of you. It's not going to be enough to just, go through the motions. But you've got to have some zeal way down inside of your heart that says, this is very important to me. Amen. And what are we running for tonight? What are we wanting to win in our lives? Amen. That question has got to have an answer, and it will have an answer. You're going to answer that. Amen. You're going to prove what is the most important thing in your life by the life that you live, by what you talk about, by what you think about. Amen. Where your desires and your hopes and your dreams are. Now, I said he was a one of a kind. He really was. The apostle did not have to deal with a family that we know of. He did not have to deal with a job, mostly. There were times that he did work, and there were times that he did not take anything from some of the churches because of their necessity. But Paul didn't plan for any future financial security. It was not really something that was a part of the culture of that day, but he hadn't planned for that. He had a wide open field before him. Amen. It was in the will of God. He didn't know where he was going to go. He didn't know how it was going to end up. And this man could have taken his theological understanding and his wisdom of the scriptures, and he could have become the top person in his society, making good money, living really well. He could have done that. But he decided to say, Lord, what will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? And Paul understood some things. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Amen. Philippians 3 and verse 8. And he said this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Everybody said loss. I'm going to talk about that for a moment here tonight. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss, there it is again, the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. What the great apostle was saying here, what he was trying to get across to the Philippian church, was that if you're going to be successful at anything, there's got to be a trade-off. Come on, somebody. You're going to have to trade some things for that. You can't have everything in life. Amen. You can't stay home and just go out to the mailbox to look for the check that's coming in the mail, looking for your ship that's going to come in. There's got to be a trade-off. And what he was saying in essence here is that in life, there's got to be a trade-off. And in reality, life is a culmination of our trade-offs. What are you saying, Pastor? What do you mean here? The truth of it is, you can't win everything. But we can put our focus on one thing. Amen. We do best when we put our focus on one, maybe two things at the most, possibly three at the very, very most. And Jesus said something about this, and it goes right along with it in Matthew 6 and 24. He said, no man, everybody said no man, no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon Amen. You cannot do that. There has got to be a trade-off. There's got to be something that you give up to get something else. If you're looking for the pleasures of this world, Jesus said you've got to trade the kingdom of God for it. You cannot serve the world. You cannot serve yourself and serve God at the same time. You cannot serve God and serve the world at the same time. You're going to have to trade God for the world, or you're going to have to trade the world for God. Amen. And it's the only way that it really is going to happen in your life. Where are you going tonight? And what are you going to do when you get there? Amen. And here's the trade-off tonight. If you want extra money, then you've got to trade some things to get it. Amen. You're going to have to go and work somewhere and do something. You're going to have to give up a portion of your life. Amen. And that would be time. You're going to have to give up a certain amount of time to get that money. Amen. There is no such thing as a money tree. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. No such thing as finding a treasure somewhere. Maybe somebody would once in a while, but you're not going to just wake up in the morning with numbers in your head and go play the lottery and win that billion-dollar lottery. Oh, wished I could have that, right? Wish that could be something that I could do, so I'm going to go and I'm going to trade off some of my money and buy tickets. But, you know, we don't believe in that around here. We don't believe that wealth comes through the lottery or through gambling or things of that nature. Why do you think the gambling houses are big and beautiful and they give out food for free almost, and they give out liquor and all of that for free? It's because they're making huge amounts of money off of fools. Amen. People that think they're going to get something for nothing. Amen. But I'm old enough to have learned and to know tonight that there is nothing that comes to us without a trade-off. Amen. You're going to have to trade your time to get some money. If you're going to go into business for yourself, the very same principle applies. You're not just going to start a business and in 1 year be making $1 million a year. It's just not going to work. I talked to somebody a few weeks ago and they had a trucking business. Their trucking business got flooded out. They were in business for 3 years. 3 years, and never took any money in that 3 year period. Because there had to be a trade-off. There had to be repairs that were made. There had to be fuel that was bought. There had to be wages that were paid, and it was not established, so there had to be a trade-off. You had to give up something to get something else. Amen. There is no magical thing in this world that if you just wave a wand, that all of a sudden the chariot and the horses are going to be there to take you to the fancy ball. Amen. And to find your dream right there. It'll never happen, my friend. One day you'll wake up and your life will be over and you'll say, what did I do with my life? I traded the precious things for the lowly things. I heard of one executive and his dream and his goal was to have the golden key to the executive bathroom. And it was a status thing. It was a prideful thing. And I read that he worked overtime. He worked so hard and diligently to get the golden key to the executive bathroom. And the day came that he was presented with the key that only a few people could have. And he could go in there and wash his hands. He could go in there and use the facility. But what really wasn't any different than a regular bathroom. Amen. But the trade-off for him was his wife divorced him, and she left with the children and got everything that he had worked so hard for. There has to be a trade-off. Amen. If you desire something in life, whatever it is, you're going to have to trade it for something. There's a generation today that just wants to play. Oh, I wish you'd help me to preach here a little bit tonight. But there's a generation today that's in the play mode. Amen. Children that are 30 years old that are still living in at home and playing games on the internet. I'm telling you what, you're trading a life for something that is worthless. Amen. That will not produce anything good or positive in your life. But the devil is so slimy. He is so crafty. Amen. He'll put it out as the thing to do. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going in this direction. Hey, let me tell you tonight, everybody's not going in that direction. There's some people that's got a little bit of sense about them to say, I'm going to choose to trade the world for God. Amen. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself, and I will be, you will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Hey, I'm telling you, I want to be a child of God. I want to go to heaven for eternity. I want to be blessed for all of eternity. And if it's trading the world for it, it's a small price, and I'm willing to trade it for that price. You're going to have to give up something to get something else. It's a trade-off. Genesis 4 and verse 1, Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you mad? Why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him, or slew him. Trade-offs are required in life. Hear the preacher tonight. Trade-offs are required in life. You cannot have everything. But there is something you're going to have to trade for something else. Amen. Abel traded his life for eternity, which was permanent, while Cain traded his eternity for his life, which was temporary. Amen. What kind of trade are you willing to make in your life? For some, it's 30 pieces of silver. If you give me the silver, I'll trade Jesus for it. Amen. For others, like Demas, it is forsaking the truth for the pleasures of this present world. Amen. There's so many things that you can trade for God. Amen. But I'm telling you what tonight, I don't think I have to tell most of us here tonight, but there's some here tonight that I've just got to tell you, God is worth every trade-off you'll ever have to make. Amen. When you give your life to God, He gives it back to you in better condition than when you gave it to Him. If you want to try to make your own life, you're going to make a mess of it. Amen. If you want to try to make your own way, you're going to go the wrong way. Amen. If you've got your plan of what you're going to do, it's always going to fall short. But God's plan is the right plan. Praise God. God's way is always the right way. Amen. And Paul wrote to the Galatians, and he said in Galatians 5 and verse 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so Paul wrote to the Corinthians here, and he said, you got involved in the race, But there came a time that you weren't ready to make the trade-off. Amen. You weren't ready to give it all for the long haul, for the long term. You started out excited about coming to church, and after a while, that excitement had left you. After a while, the thrill of worship, the thrill of feeling the presence of God had diminished in your church. Oh, hear me tonight, New Life Tabernacle. I'm telling you what, we're going to make trade-offs in our lives. Amen. Well, I'd rather just kind of have a more subdued church. Why do we have to worship? Why do we have to give our very best when we come to the house of God? I'll tell you what you're going to trade it for. You're going to trade it for carnality. You're going to trade it for fleshly things. You're going to trade it for church problems that are going to come up at some point in time, because nobody's praying through and nobody's worshiping in the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit are not in operation. Hear me tonight. Praise God. You're going to trade something for something else. I'll tell you what I want. I want God more than anything in all of this world. I want a move of God. And I personally am going to have to trade something for that move of God. Well, praise the Lord. Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And so he said, if you want to run this race with patience, there's got to be a trade-off. Amen. You're going to have to lay aside some things. Amen. You can't run a race with weights around your ankle. That's just for those that are training. Amen. But when it comes, you've got to be light-footed. You can't have weights. Amen. You can't have burdens upon you. You can't have something strapped on you that's weighing you down and making it harder and harder to run the race. Oh, you might start out okay. You might make it the first mile okay. But after a while, you're going to start shedding some weights if the race is important to you. They say in the Boston Marathon that along the road, along that pathway that those folks are running, the further you get, there are clothes laying on the side of the road. And they will take their number and peel it off. They'll take their shirt and they'll peel it off because they're getting hot. They're getting more weary. And for them, a little less weight is good because it'll help them endure to the end of the race. Amen. People in the world know this. They understand that if you're going to run a race, there's got to be a trade-off. Amen. You're going to have to spend time in preparation. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. You're going to have to spend some time in training. You're going to have a zeal and an excitement. Amen. And see the value of winning this race. I'm not interested in being number one. I'm just interested in crossing the finish line. Praise God. I'm just interested in seeing the angels clap as I run through that ticker, that tape. Amen. And they shout and say, he made it. Praise God. He made it. I want to make it all the way to the very end. Amen. I want to cross the finish line. Anybody else feel that way tonight? Amen. In other words, Paul was saying, we run for that which we look for. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm looking for something. I have got my mind made up. I want to do this. I see the value of this. And that's what we're going to run for. We're going to run for the things that are most valuable to us. Praise God. We're going to do it. We're going to run for it. Amen. And I'll tell you what, when we find out the thing that we love the most, that's what we're going to run for. But hear me tonight, when you decide to run for something, you're going to have a trade-off. Well, praise the Lord. A trade-off. Because we're limited tonight. We're limited. We can't get everything that we want. We don't have enough wisdom. We don't have enough strength. And we don't have enough time. Now, if we were like Adam and live almost 1,000 years, that'd be a different story. We could work on things for a long time until we got it done. Praise God. But we don't have that much time. Your days are numbered, my friend. Your church services are numbered. The times of coming to worship are numbered. The times of giving are numbered. Amen. The times of opportunity for prayer are numbered. Amen. The times of fasting are numbered. Amen. The times of service are numbered. Your days are numbered. And I say that to the young tonight and to all of us, but especially to the young. It is a wise young man. It is a wise young lady that says, I see the goal ahead for me. I see the things that are most valuable to me, and I'm going to run for those things. I've only got so much time, but I think I can get a lot done if I put my mind to it and I put my shoulder to it and I give my whole heart and my whole life to God. I got a feeling tonight that there's some young people, amen, here that God will call to preach. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel it. I really do. And I'm not calling anybody to preach tonight. But you'll never be a preacher with a prayerless lifestyle. You'll never be a preacher without reading and reading the Word of God and filling your mind with things, amen, that you can share with others and inspire them and help them. Amen. You'll never be a preacher, amen, by getting on the internet and finding a message to preach and emulating what somebody else put together. It just won't happen. There's got to be a trade-off. Amen. You got to trade some time for prayer. You got to trade some time for fasting. You got to trade some time for preparation. Amen. And then for the actual delivery or running the race. Amen. Oh, praise God. We were down in Texas, and some of the greatest preachers that walk in shoe leather was preaching there. And while others were preaching, the men that, if I named their names, you would probably know them. Great preachers, great men of God. They had their notebooks out, and they were taking notes of what was said and what was done and what somebody preached. Every single one of them were taking notes. Amen. And I looked at that, and I thought, yeah, they have got it in their heart. I'm not a conference preacher. I'm not worthy to do this, but I'm going to do my best. Praise God. Well, praise God. We're living in a generation today, and folks, we cannot get drawn into this. Amen. That revival just comes because we show up. It's not going to come because we just show up. Amen. It's got to be based upon a prayer life. It's got to be based upon fasting and prayer. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. I'm hitting a brick wall right here because I know this is exactly where we are. We're making trade-offs in our lives. We're spending time with this, that, and the other, but we're laying aside the things of God. I don't say that tonight to be harsh or critical. I'm just preaching what God gave me to preach tonight. Where are you going, and what are you going to do when you get there? Praise God. I'll tell you where I'm going to heaven. Amen. And when I get there, I'm going to look upon His face. And I'm going to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, you ain't never seen shouting like there's going to be shouting then. Praise God. because I made it all the way. But you're not going to make it all the way just by clapping your hands when somebody says something nice, or lifting your hands because somebody else lift their hands, or coming up to worship because everybody else is doing it. I'll tell you what, it's got to get down deep inside of our heart tonight. It's got to get down into our bosom. I see a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm not interested in a lot of things of this world, but I'm interested in making a trade. Praise God. Young man, there's only one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And he dropped his head, and his shoulders went down, and he said, I can't do it. I'm not willing to make the trade. And so he died as a rich man, but he was lost for eternity. Folks, there's going to be a trade-off. The trade-off you make is going to be a picture of what you hold as valuable. Judas saw silver in his hand, and he saw it as something that was valuable, and he said, I'll do it. I'll make the trade. I'll trade God for 30 small pieces of silver. Luke 17 and verse 33, I want to look at a familiar verse of Scripture that's actually written in all four of the Gospels. Luke 17, 33. I'm going to go quickly here tonight. Luke 17, 33. Whosoever shall seek, everybody said seek, seek to save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. There's a trade-off. You're going to have to give up something to get something else. And if you're willing to do it, you can be successful. Amen. Now let's go to John 2 and verse 25. That word seek there is in the first verse that I read. John 12, 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And so, the word loveth, he that loveth, everybody said love. Love, that's not sensual, lustful love. That's not what love is. That's lust. That's lust. Lust says I want. Love says I give. Well, praise the Lord. Matthew 10 and verse 39. So we have seek and then we have love. Matthew 10, 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And so here we have the word findeth. Everybody said find. Amen. Matthew 16 and verse 25. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So we have the word save. Everybody said save. And then Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospel shall, the same shall save it. And there is the same word, save. Let's look at those four words there tonight. And let's see what the Lord will speak to us about. Hopefully it'll speak to somebody here tonight. I'm not going to preach very much longer, but I want to make this point. Whosoever shall seek, that's the first step right there. You've got to seek. And it means desire or to endeavor. It's what you desire. It's what you seek. Amen. If you've got the world in your heart, you're going to seek for a moment in time to slip out of God and into the world. You're going to look for that opportunity. And the Bible said that they seek a country. They that do such say such things seek a country. They're going to seek after things. But then it goes on and it says But if they had opportunity to return, amen. If they're not seekers, there's going to be an opportunity to return. Are we listening here tonight? If you've got the world in your heart, the world is going to give you an opportunity. The opportunity will avail itself, and it will say, now's the moment. Take it. Go for it. Throw everything behind your shoulders and go forward and have fun and do whatever you want to do. But for those of us that want to go to heaven, he said, seek. Whosoever shall seek to save his life, does desire to do what I want to do, he's going to lose his life. And whosoever loses his life shall preserve it. So first we seek. Then he said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. And so that word love there means to be a friend of, or to be a friend to, fond of, an individual or an object, to have affection for. And so we're going to love something. Praise God. I'm going to love the church. I'm going to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to love prayer. I'm going to love fasting. I'm going to love the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Or you're going to be a friend. You're going to be a friend to that. Or the Bible says, if any man is a friend of the world, he is the enemy of God. There's a trade-off that's going to have to be made. Amen. I'm going to take these things and I'm going to set them aside because there's one thing that I love the most. Unfortunately, in our generation, the thing that is loved the most is self. Amen. I want. This is my desire. But I'm telling you what, tonight we've got to develop a friendship with Jesus, a fondness to Him. Amen. That wherever He is, that's where I want to be. And so we seek. And then we seek because we love. Amen. We want to be a friend of. And he said, when you seek it and you're a friend of it, you're going to think about it. It's going to be a part of your life. And then he said, he that findeth, amen. Findeth means to get or to obtain. And so in reality, it's what you love and what you seek for is what you're going to find. Praise God. I know this is very simple tonight, but it's what I feel like the Lord gave me. Where are you going tonight? And what are you going to do when you get there? Amen. And then finally he said, after you seek and you love, and then you find it. Amen. He said, you are going to save it. In Matthew 16:25, who will ever save his life? And that word save means to protect and to preserve. Amen. To protect and to preserve. Mark 8:35, the same word, to protect and to preserve. So when you get to where you're going, amen, when you get to where you're going, you're going to spend the time to protect and to preserve what you've worked for. Praise God. If you started a business, the time will come, you got to have a security system because you don't want somebody coming in and stealing all your hard work. Amen. If it's your relationship, your husband or your wife, you're going to seek to preserve or to protect that relationship because you have sought for it, you love it, amen, and you've run for it, and now you've got it. The truth of the matter is, and it's very dangerous on one side, but it's very good on the other side. On one side, I've seen folks that have left God, traded the world for God, amen, and after a while, they become the world. And they protect the way they're going. Amen. They not all the time, but they get this attitude. Amen. Well, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I really got to thinking about things. And it's really not as important as the preacher says. It's all right for me to live the way I want to live. That's a very dangerous place to get to. That when you're living in sin and living in the world, you're making excuses to protect it. Amen. To preserve and to protect your lifestyle. Oh, God, help us. Romans chapter 1 talks about it. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but you can read Romans chapter 1, and it gives you the full story there. Amen. The truth of the matter is, what you love and what you seek for is what you're going to protect and to preserve. I'm glad for our military. I'm glad for our police officers. I'm glad for those that keep us safe and all of that. Isn't anybody else feel the same way about it? I feel the same way about it tonight because what they're doing is they're serving and protecting. Amen. They are preserving and protecting the peace. They are preserving and protecting our freedoms so we can come here tonight without being molested by people that don't love us and don't care about us. I'm glad we have the freedom of worship tonight. But somebody's sitting up late at night. Amen. In our town, they come around, they say they do, they come around after church services on Sunday night. And on Sunday night, they'll come around the building here and they'll check the building. I'm very, very thankful. They told me that ours is the most secure one in town. We've always got the doors locked, but it's not that way in every other church. Amen. They're a little bit more careless than we are. Amen. There's a lot of work that's gone into this place. There's a lot of giving. What we have may not look like much, but bless your heart, we've worked hard for what we've got. And we want to preserve and protect what we've got. We don't want some crazy person coming in here and stealing everything, defacing our property, amen, coming in and causing problems with us. Somebody said we're going to preserve and protect what you've done. I'm thankful for that tonight. But I'll tell you what, I'm where I am in my walk with God because there's been a lot of work that's taken place. Amen. I've gone through some rough times and gone over some hard roads in the past. But I'll tell you what, every time I said I've got to protect and preserve my heart. I've got to preserve and protect my love for God. I've got to look at things the right way. I'm not going to get off on the exit. I'm not going to stop running the race. I'm not going to give up and become weary in well-doing. I might not be going as fast as I was when I started, but bless your heart, I'm still in the race, and I'm going to make it all the way to the very end. If you're going to live for God, you got to start out seeking Him, and then you're going to fall in love with Him. Amen, and then you're going to find salvation. But bless your heart, you got to preserve and protect what God has given to you. And so you got to say no to some things. Amen. You got to trade your prayer time for your personal time. You've got to trade off some things. I'm telling you what, you could all be doing some things tonight instead of being in church. But I got a feeling that you're here because you want to preserve some things. I want to protect it. I want to preserve my children's heart. I want to protect my children's mind. We're not going to take these precious moments here tonight and waste them on foolishness. Oh, God, help us here tonight. Anybody feel the Lord in this place? I'm telling you, there's a few other scriptures. Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." There's a trade-off. You're going to have to trade some things. Where are you going tonight? What you going to do when you get there? Amen. What's the plan? What's the goal? What are you striving for? What are you reaching for? It's going to make a big difference for your future. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Denying yourself is simply a trade-off. I'm not the important issue anymore, but the cross is the important issue. I'm going to live in the shadow of the cross. Amen. I'm going to live my life in the shadow of the great sacrifice that he made. And every day I'm going to pick up my cross. Amen. Every day I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to carry my cross. For each and every one of us, it's different. Amen. This is like the cross. I got to pick it up. And I got to put it on my shoulder and I got to carry it myself. And my physical pain or sickness is not my cross. But I tell you what my cross is. It's my dedication. I dedicated my life to prayer. But you know what? Something's going to come up tomorrow that says you can't make it to prayer. And so I got to pick up the cross and I've got to carry it. And I've got to do what my flesh, I can't do what my flesh tells me to do. Oh, God, we've all failed. Somebody said amen. Amen. But I'm telling you what, I've got to protect and preserve what God has given to me. And I've got the opportunity, we all do, to take my cross and to lay it down. Don't think I want to carry that anymore. It's getting a little bit heavy. It's rubbing a notch in my shoulder. I don't think I want to be what I used to think I wanted to be in God. You know, I got down the road a little ways and it's just a little bit too hard. Too much involvement. Oh, yes, I said I'll give my life to you, but I wasn't really expecting this. Wasn't expecting it to be this bad or this hard. Listen, winners are people that are willing to bear hardship and willing to just pick it up. I'm going to carry it another day. Praise the Lord. Those that excel and those that finish what they start are people that are willing to make trade-offs. They're willing to say, I'm going to lay something aside so I can get the thing that I dream for and the thing that I want the most. Praise God. Let's lay that cross down. Mark 8:34, and when he called his disciples unto him, called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Praise the Lord. Why is it such a draw? Why is it such an attraction for the young people of our generation today to spend their time playing games rather than doing the will of God? You know what I've come to understand, I think I have, I'm trying to, is that if I'll just take the time, you know, and we've got such great opportunities. I've got an iPad and it's got a little app on there. It's the Bible. And I can plug that in, I can put it in my ear, and somebody will read the Word of God to me. But you know what? There's something inside of me that says, why don't you check out what's on the YouTube? Why don't you check out something that's going on over here with this particular thing? See if you can find some new thing that's going on. And so I found that I can take my time and I can spend it doing those things. And it's very easy to do those things. But it's very hard to go over to that app and punch the button, put the earbud in, and listen to the Word of God. But if I want to protect and preserve, Brother Mike, you're starting out in prayer and fasting, reading the Word of God, striving to understand the principles in the good book. But there's going to come a day when you've got to make a decision. Am I going to serve God or am I going to serve myself? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I know you're here because you feel that way. And I want to be an encouragement to us here tonight. Amen. One more scripture. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Sorry, two more scriptures. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me." Where are you going tonight? Where are you going in your mind? What you going to do when you get there? What you going to do when you can brag about the hours that you spent playing games that are meaningless? I'm not against playing games. I like to play games. But I tell you what, they've got their place. They've got their place. And it is not the most important thing in life to play games. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Have you decided to go to heaven? Have you decided to go to heaven? Or have you decided, you know what, I'm just going to kind of float along. Mom and Dad take me to church, so I just kind of go along with it. But as for me, I'm not really that interested. I'm not really willing to give everything. I've got some, what would you want to call it? I've got some qualifications. I'll do this if this. If God will do this, then I'll do this. But there are some things that I just won't do. Got my mind made up. There are just some things that I won't do. I'm not going to, oh Lord, don't ever get into that kind of a spirit and attitude. I tell you what, I'm not going to do this, or the other side of that is, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. I'll tell you what, you haven't really found the thing that you love the most. Because the thing that you love the most, you're going to say, I'll trade whatever I've got. You know what I found one day? I found a treasure in a field. I found a pearl of great price. And I was willing to sell everything to get it. My personal ambitions, my personal property, my fortunes, everything, the shirt on my back, I'm going to sell it all so that I can buy the field. I'm going to sell it all so I can get that pearl of great price, so I can gain something. There's a trade-off. I'm not interested in all my yard sale stuff. I'm not interested in my niceties. I'm not interested in it. If I have to give it all up for this field, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to trade it all. I'm going to sell it all. You know what? That's what God did. He was coming through this field of this world. Sister Glenda, he saw you. And you know what? He was willing to sell everything. He became bankrupt so that he could buy the field and so he could have you as a treasure. It's the same way with you and you and you and all of us here tonight. God was willing to make a trade-off. He could have sat on his throne in heaven for all of eternity. As Brother Reed said, he could be pushing buttons and the angels could be bowing and saying, praise God. Could have done that. But you know what? He wanted something real. He wanted something genuine. He wanted something intimate. And he said, I'm going to go myself. I'm going to humble myself and put on the garment of flesh. And I'm coming to this world and I'm going to give myself. I'm going to sell everything I've got. I'm going to let them slap me in the face. I'm going to let them put a spear in my side. I'm going to let them crucify me because I have something that I want more than anything. I want to have a relationship with my creation. Well, praise God. And that's why there is such a thing as hell, where the fire never is quenched, it is never put out, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, according to the scriptures. Because when we reject divinity, we reject the ways of divinity, and we go in the way of carnality, There is no other place for us to go. There is no purgatory. You're not going to spend time in purgatory and then go to heaven. That's a fallacy of the Word of God. When you die, the book is closed and it's over. And that's where you're going to be. But praise God. If you've got a mind and a heart for God and you see things of value, amen. Where are you going tonight? What you going to do when you get there? Psalm 27, let's stand together. Verse 4. One thing, everybody said one thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. And that will I seek after. Everybody said seek. What you seek is what you're going to desire and what you're going to love. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Well, I'm too busy tending sheep. I'm too busy fighting giants. Too busy doing this, doing that, doing the other. I got other things that are more important in my life. Got other things that I'm going to do. But no, David came to a place where he said, I'm willing to make the trade-off. Where are you going tonight, sir? Young man. Where are you going tonight, ma'am? Lady? Young lady? Where's your goal? Where are you headed? What's your plan in life? I'll tell you what, you're going to fall in love with it, and that's where you're going to go. But if you can get a hold of this message tonight, amen, and run your race for God. I want to run my race like my little grandson runs in his little carrier, with wide eyes, kicking, running. He doesn't know where he's going. He don't know what he's doing. But he's just excited, and he's giving it his very, very best. Praise the Lord. And that's the way I like it. That's the way I like it. Some kids, and that maybe I shouldn't even say this, because maybe one of your kids is like this, but they just kind of, when they're little like that, they just kind of, then after a while they catch on and they get excited about things. That's okay. We understand that. But you know what I don't understand is adults that just sit there. Like they're in a college class. Do they get excited in college classes, Brother Greg? Nobody shouts hallelujah. Nobody gets up and runs around in the class. You know why? Because the teacher's not anointed. And there's a different spirit that's there. Just kind of sit there. Cheerleader gets up, tries to get you on your feet. Jesus said, this generation is likened unto children in the streets. And their fellows say, come on, let's dance. And they won't dance. And they play the harps and the music, but they won't sing. They just kind of sit there. You know what, folks? We got to seek after God. Amen. Come on, let's pray together right now.